Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Revolution Studios. Revolution Studios presents a Jinx Coen Company production, a Joseph Rubin film. An aerial view moving over a ship on slate grey water towards a dockside. Starring Julianne Moore, The Forgotten. The dockside gives way to roofs of skyscrapers in a densely packed city. Also starring Dominic West and Gary Sinise. Alfre Woodard, Linus Roach, Robert Wisdom, Jessica Hecht, and Anthony Edwards. A pleasure boat passes under a bridge that spans an industrial area on one side and Manhattan's skyline of modern high-rises on the other. Moving downwards towards a patch of grass on the industrial side and a group of children running around and playing. A children's play park set in woodland is bathed in a cold, frosty light. It's deserted, apart from a woman sitting on one of the swings. Music composed by James Horner. The woman's in her 30s with long straight red hair. With a faraway look in her eye, she gently swings back and forth, then looks about her. Now in a house, moving along a corridor towards an open door at the end. Inside, the woman approaches a dresser which has two framed photos of a young blonde-haired boy on top.
Sam.
She picks up one of the photos, looks at it for a moment, then sets it down again. Then, from a drawer, she takes out a baseball glove.
How much time did you spend at the dresser compared to last week?
Less.
How much less?
I don't know exactly.
You want to make a guess, roughly, for the week?
Oh, not even an hour a day.
And how long has it been now, since your loss?
You're hoping I guess again, aren't you?
How long?
14 months, 6 days. I can tell you what time it was, down to the hour and minute, if you want. I can't help it.
It's all right. It's just a memory doing its job.
From the woman tearfully watching a home movie of the young boy to a newspaper clipping, Sean Peretta, 9, dies in plane crash. Now the woman's on her way out. After searching behind the sofa cushions, she finds the phone on the arm of a chair.
Hello?
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just running out the door. I'm late for my appointment with Mons.
Listen, I was thinking maybe we could go out to dinner tonight.
I don't know. I think I'd rather stay home. I'm sorry.
All right, well, that's fine.
I'll cook something fancy.
No. It's too much for you.
No, I want to. Tim, I want to, okay? Hey, Elliot.
I missed you, sweetie. Where have you been?
I know. I have a call.
Oh, stop. Don't be silly. I didn't mean it like that. We just haven't hung out in a while. Give me a call. We'll do something.
I'd love to.
Bye.
The woman leaves her neighbor, Elliot, and walks into the road, looking about her confused. A man in a car talks to her.
You need some help?
I parked my car here, right here last night.
What kind of car is it?
A red Volvo.
He points to the car parked across the street.
Thanks.
I forget all the time.
Jim says I have a death grip on the past.
How are you getting along? Do you fight it all this week?
Jim doesn't fight. He negotiates.
Are you comfortable physically? How's the sex?
How would you feel if I asked you that question? How's sex with Mrs. Muntz? Would you answer?
Yes, but I'd have to charge you more.
She notices a coaster sitting on the table beside her, then looks about, confused.
What's wrong?
I had my coffee.
No, not today.
No, I just had some.
I offered, but you said no this time. Last time you had a cup. Memory slips.
I didn't forget. I can still taste the coffee.
You smell my coffee and you manufacture a memory, a taste. That's all. You do hang on hard. Sometimes the mind needs help in letting a thing go.
You expect me to let go of my son?
Do you think you amplify some of these memories of Sam? Add to them?
No. Why would I?
That night, the woman's cooking in her kitchen when her husband Jim comes in with a bottle of champagne.
Hey, what's the occasion?
You, going back to work. I think it's great.
No, it's just a freelance edit job. I'm not even sure I want to do it.
I think you should do it. It could be great for you. What's the book?
Psychotic Women and the Men Who Love Them. No, I'm kidding. It's a children's book.
Sorry.
Sorry. Hey, look at the nice glasses your mother gave us, okay?
Speaking of psychotics.
Yeah.
What kind of a kid's book is it?
She notices a framed photograph of her, Jim, and Sam that she looked at earlier in the day. But now her son is no longer in the picture. She carries it through to the kitchen.
What have you done, Jim?
What?
What have you done?
Telly.
Why'd you change the picture?
I didn't change anything.
Do you think this helps me, taking him away?
You have to calm down.
Yeah, I want the picture of the three of us. What'd you think, that I wouldn't notice? I wouldn't care?
Telly throws the picture to the floor, then storms out. Outside, she takes a walk through her leafy neighborhood in the dark. With her hands dug into the pockets of her coat, she passes by a park bench. Beyond the trees in the shadows, she sees a man gently rocking himself on the child's swing she was sitting on earlier. He's swigging from a bottle.
Come here hoping to meet other swingers. You're the first one.
We know each other. I'm Telly. Remember? Telly Peretta. Sam's mom? We're all tired of condolences, but I miss Lauren, too.
Well, I'm done for the night, so I gotta go.
You don't remember me?
Sure. You want my swing?
No.
Would you want to come home with me? Just live over there.
Good night, Ash.
You do know me. Well, that's why you won't come home with me.
He trudges off into the night, and she takes his seat on the swing. As she walks back and forth, the wind disturbs the leaves carpeting the ground. At home, Telly switches off the bathroom light, then climbs into bed. Jim's already asleep, lying with his back to her.
Jim.
As she kisses his back and turns away, his eyes open. Lying with her face half bathed in moonlight, she remembers the past.
Mom, look!
She's chasing Sam along a corridor, smiling as she tries to keep up.
Hurry up, Mom!
He reaches a window, looking out on a plane sitting on a runway.
There's your plane.
Telly turns onto her back and stares up at the rain falling on the bedroom skylight. Sometime later, she's sitting at the dining table, working on her laptop, in the middle of a large open-plan living area. She stops and looks thoughtful. Reaching into a box, she pulls out a photo booth strip of her and Sam. She looks down at the four photos of them smiling and pulling faces, then lets the strip rest against her lips. She takes an old tin box out of a drawer and from it removes a key. Then she walks purposefully to the door at the end of the corridor and unlocks it. Inside, she strides over to the dresser, but the framed photos are gone. Opening the top drawer, she takes out the baseball glove and then a blue New York baseball cap. Steeling herself, she then opens a photo album. She leafs through the pages, but they're completely blank. Becoming frantic, she gets out another book and finds its pages also blank. Now Telly's on the phone.
Jim Peretta, please? I'll take the voicemail. I can't believe what you did with the book and I was so good. With the photos and the lock, you still. Do you want to make me hate you? Do you want to make me hate you?
She hurries back to the bedroom and searches the dresser drawers for the home movie video cassettes. Having found them, she slots one into the machine downstairs, grabs the remote, and presses play.
Please, please.
The tape's blank, the screen full of snow. Beside herself, she covers her mouth, then quickly puts on another tape. She presses play, and the screen fills with the pixelated snow again. Her face crumples as she breaks down and cries. Jim hurries across the street to the house. Inside, he finds a despondent Telly slumped in a chair.
Telly? Telly?
I can't be with you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. Just get out.
Telly, wait.
The book I can lose, but you erased our son. You erased my boy. You made it all blank.
Telly, stop. Telly, stop. They were always blank.
What? What are you saying?
You're coming back. Dr. Muntz is coming.
Let me go.
This is cut off. God, Telly, this is real. The tapes were always blank.
Do you know what he's telling me?
Yes.
Is he psychotic?
No.
of my child. My Sam.
Telly. There was never a Sam Peretta. You never had a son.
This is insane.
I'm so sorry. I wanted to help you slowly, gently, but I never thought that you'd...
No, he erased the tapes. He replaced the book with an empty book. How can you believe him? Sam, he grew up. He was nine. Nine. I had 9 years of memories.
Invented memories, Telly. It happens. People do this. It's called paramnesia.
No.
You imagined a life...
Everyone remembers Sam. Everyone.
Telly, you had a miscarriage. Your life was in danger. The baby was premature. It was stillborn. You almost died.
Post-traumatic shock. It affects everyone differently. Sometimes some people actually invent entire alternate lives with imagined friends and lovers and children.
Stop it! Why are you doing this? Why are you both trying to take him away from me? I made him up! I made him up! This is so simple. There are photographs.
People with your condition, they can look at a photograph and see what their mind tells them to see. You used to see Sam.
No,
you're recovering.
Sam took that picture, and there was a woman, and we asked her to take a picture of the three of us, and that's the one that Jim took away. We have a million photographs. No, 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 he took the real book away!
Telly.
Telly, I was hoping we could do this without hospitalizing you.
Frightened, she turns from Dr. Muntz to Jim. When Jim looks away, she fights back tears.
All right, all right. There are photos that he didn't take. I'll show you. And we'll end this. We'll end this.
She heads over to the dining table and takes out the photo booth strip she was looking at earlier from the box. But now, the photos show her and Jim smiling and pulling faces. As she struggles to take it all in, Dr. Muntz appears at her shoulder.
Telly, let's just sit down.
He takes her arm and gently leads her back to where Jim's standing in the sitting area.
Telly!
She runs out of the house to her car.
Telly, Telly! Where are you going? Where are you... Telly!
She speeds off, leaving Jim standing in the road. In a library, Telly walks past people quietly reading at tables and goes up to the main desk.
I need to see some newspapers. Daily papers from 14 months ago.
The librarian produces a form.
You need to fill this out.
Telly starts rifling through her handbag for something. As she places its contents one by one on the desk, she becomes more and more distressed, her face crumpling. The librarian notices and places her hand over Telly's to stop her.
What papers do you need?
Now at a microfiche.
How could it not be in any of these? You share the date. What are you trying to find?
Six Brooklyn children fear dead in missing plane.
How could it not?
I have to go. I have to go.
Now Terry's car is driving through a heavy downpour. As the windscreen wipers sweep back and forth, her sad eyes stare out into space. Nighttime, and Telly's neighbour Elliot's on her way home.
Elliot, Price, Telly, what are you doing in the dark? What's wrong?
I had a fight with Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come inside.
We fought about Sam.
I'm sorry about what?
Sam.
Who's Sam, sweetie?
Elliot, he's my son.
Your son?
Oh, please,
You knew my son. You babysat him 1,000 times.
Oh, honey, I don't know what you're trying to say. Come
on. I'm saying that you knew my son. You talked to him. You saw us come and go. You took him to a Mets game and you bought him a hat. And he always wore that hat.
Kelly, please, you're scaring me. Tell me what's wrong.
Kelly?
Kelly runs away.
Kelly!
Soon after, in the shadow of a bridge, Telly walks up to an apartment block and rings the buzzer.
Who the hell is this?
It's Telly Peretta. Ash, please.
Are you gonna go away?
No.
Remember me?
Yeah.
Who am I?
In worse shape than I am.
Leaving him standing by the door, she crosses the spacious, minimalist loft to a doorway on the far side. She switches on the light, revealing an office with sports memorabilia, then switches it off again.
What the hell are you doing?
I was here once before, with my son. Do you remember?
You an old fan, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. You were a hockey player, ex-Ranger. Lauren was very proud of that.
Well, tell Lauren I appreciate it.
I don't follow hockey. My son Sam was a baseball fan.
Oh, baseball. It's a great game. The only sport you can play while taking a nap. You drinking?
No, I just wanted to talk to you.
About what?
Your daughter.
I don't have a daughter.
Do you get drunk every night?
No, sometimes I'm drunk by noon. What do you want?
I had a son. My son Sam and your daughter Lauren were friends, and I'd come here sometimes to drop Sam off or pick Lauren up for the movies.
Can we talk about this after?
After what?
After I sleep.
She helps him into bed.
Somebody else has a daughter, you know. Somebody else knows your son. It's not me.
She comes back in with a wet towel and places it on his forehead.
Oh, that's nice.
He touches her hand where she's pressing on the towel, then lets his hand drop away. She takes hold of it again for a second, then leaves it resting on his chest. Telly takes a look around the office. On the wall above the desk is a framed red, white and blue hockey top with the name Correll and the number 63. Next to it are framed photos of the New York Rangers in action on the ice. A small tear on the wallpaper by the corner of the window catches her eye, and she bends down and scrapes at it with her fingers. She peels away a little, revealing a small patch of blue behind it. Next, she gets a knife from a drawer and begins slicing away at the wallpaper's fabric. She runs the blade up behind the paper till a section about a meter long has come away. Then, using her hands, she pulls away the strip and discovers underneath a child's bedroom mural of fish in the sea. She rips off the neck sheet, sending the framed photos crashing to the ground, then looks at the mural with a smile. It's daytime. In the kitchen of Ash's loft apartment, Telly's busy whisking up eggs in a bowl. Behind her, a bleary-eyed Ash comes through and looks about him with a frown.
Did we get married?
It's not me.
you and it's Jim. I don't know who else or what else. I don't know anything. I don't know why it's not in the papers. I don't know anything. But it's not me. I'm not insane. Go look in your office. It used to be your daughter's room. You let her draw on it. These are her drawings.
What the hell did you do?
She was showing Sam her room. I was there. Her bed was here, against the wall, like this, and her desk was here, with pictures from magazines collaged like that.
You're out of your mind.
This was her room. This was your daughter's room.
Somebody lived here before me. They papered over their kid's room.
No.
I'm calling the cops.
No, we were there at those awful funerals. Do you remember? You and me and your ex-wife.
Get out!
And my husband, and I remember that you seemed much more upset than your wife. She was kind of like my husband. She sort of held it all in, but you and I...
Listen. We have never met at a funeral. I do not know you. I don't know your son.
Lauren and Sam were friends. We put them on a plane together to go to camp, and we lost them. They died over a year ago. You weren't drinking then.
How do you know that?
I met you. You weren't like this. It was about 14 months ago you started drinking, wasn't it? Wasn't it? That's when Lauren died.
I never had a kid.
You remembered her before this. Everybody remembered our children, and then something happened in the last weeks or days. I don't know, but our children have been forgotten.
Say her name and I'll go! I say his name every day! Just say it so you can hear it. Lauren, say it.
Lauren.
Now look around again. She was here. She lived here.
I need a minute.
Well, please tell me if you...
I need a minute.
He walks out of the room, and she closes her eyes pleadingly. Soon after, she's sitting in the main room. When Ash comes through, she gets to her feet.
Do you want some coffee?
No, thanks.
He takes a seat near her.
I know this is difficult. How much do you remember?
He stands up.
I called the police. You need some help. I never had a kid. You gotta get some help. I'm real sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Two officers lead Telly away.
One second, okay? It's the best thing.
They say I dreamed it all. Do you think I dreamed it?
We have to go.
Ash nods, then the officers take her away. He returns to his apartment and closes the door. The door to the office catches his eye, and he stares at it pensively. Flanked by the officers, Terry emerges from the building in handcuffs. Two men approach.
Hi. Carl Dayton, National Security Agency. Tully Peretta, we're taking custody.
Can I see some ID?
Okay, check with Captain Mills. He'll verify.
Ash steps into the office where Tully has removed all the wallpaper. Standing looking at the mural, he has a flashback to a young girl in pigtails turning from drawing on the wall to look at him.
Hi, Dad.
He gasps. Other memories come flooding back.
Which one do you think I should wear, Daddy?
He smiles tearfully, then runs out to the police car.
Wait!
Where is she? The feds have her.
Telly's being driven away in the back of the agent's car when Ash steps into their path.
Stop! to let it go.
Mr. Burrell, step back.
You don't understand.
Kelly, get off the fucking... Ow!
Get him!
I remember!
Get him off!
I remember!
Get him off the
damn door! Get off me! He's right!
Wrestling with the agents, Ash kicks in the window, then hits the door release so Telly can get out. She bolts from the car. Carl Dayton chases her down the street while his colleague and Ash exchange blows. The friendly man who was outside Telly's house the day she couldn't find her car is watching from a distance. Ash manages to break free of the agent and sprints back to his apartment block. Telly's running through a grocery store with Carl just behind her. At the end of an aisle, she dashes through a fire exit door, but a shopper gets in Carl's way. Telly sprints down a dark tunnel towards daylight at the end, then she jumps out onto the street. She picks herself up, then disappears down a long, narrow back alley, just as Carl arrives outside. He stops and looks about him. Telly keeps going until she turns the corner out of the alley. Then she leans back against a wall and catches her breath. Lifting her eyes skywards, she notices a strange, almost eye-shaped cloud formation appearing briefly over the sun before dissipating. Then she carries on her way. Jim is in a police station.
T-E-L-L...
Why, Telly?
Lieutenant Pope, they told me there was a complaint against her.
She trashed somebody's apartment and then she wouldn't leave.
Who? Whose apartment?
A Mr. Ashley Corral. Do you know him?
No.
Ex-New York Ranger, right wing, pretty good.
What does he have to do?
And she was claiming that her son was missing and dead.
We never had a son.
Why would she say that?
My wife is delusional. She needs help. Where is she?
She was turned over to federal agents, and she fled custody. Now, Mr. Beretta, why would the NSA be interested in your wife?
You're asking me. This is crazy.
They don't care about anybody's apartment, and they don't trace missing children.
There was never a child.
Traffic streams across a grey metal road bridge. On a footpath running parallel, Telly's walking against the flow. Hearing voices, she stops and looks through the metal grille at a nearby rooftop, where children are running around a fenced-in playground. As she watches the children chasing each other around the climbing frames, she remembers saying goodbye to Sam at the airport.
Do what they say, all right?
Okay, I love you.
I'm gonna miss you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sam!
Yeah?
See ya!
Emotion washes over her face at the memory. Then she carries on. Now it's nighttime. A figure is moving through the park towards the children's play area. It's Ash. He goes up to the middle swing where he was sitting on the night he met Telly, then sits down on it. A moment later, Telly emerges from the shadows.
I was hoping you'd come here.
Me too.
She sits down on the swing next to his.
I don't understand it, huh? I keep thinking I'm crazy, you know? How could I forget her? My little girl. How? I can't do this.
You have to. Because I can't do this alone.
Come on, we shouldn't hang around here.
They set off through the park.
First, I thought it had something to do with the plane crash. Do you remember when that TWA flight crashed over Long Island and everybody thought that it was a missile, a friendly fire, some kind of government cover-up?
Yeah, I remember that.
But then I thought, you know, how could the government erase our memories? It's just not possible. So...
what?
Oh, please, don't think I'm out of my mind.
I don't anymore.
Do you ever feel like somebody, something's watching you?
Like surveillance?
No, I mean that sometimes people are taken. We hear that.
What are you talking about?
Abduction.
Oh, wait a minute. You're freaking me out. I'm having a National Enquirer moment.
Now listen to me. What do we know? I had a son. You had a daughter. They had lives. They died. And everyone besides us believes they never existed. What could do something like that?
No, come on. There's got to be another explanation.
Who could erase our kids? Every picture of them gone. Every newspaper article gone. Every memory gone. No agents, no government. Who could do that?
I don't know.
Now they're on the road in Ash's car.
I need to find a hotel. You got any cash?
No, not much. I have some credit cards.
Forget it. Clerk runs your card and they got us. Don't you watch TV?
I read.
Goddamn snob.
No. Goddamn editor. Why are you so pissed at me?
A car crashes into them.
You okay?
Yeah. My door.
NSA, we need to talk to you!
Just stay by the car!
Stay by the car!
Telly and Ash flee down an alley, and the three people from the other car chase after them. They turn a corner and cross a road, and moments later, their pursuers are forced to stop by a passing ambulance. On another street, Ash and Telly see a car speeding towards them. As they duck down a derelict side street, the car pulls up.
Where'd they go? Where'd they go? In here!
The men from the car join the chase. Telly and Ash run between the pillars of a bleak, desolate underpass. Two of their pursuers start to gain on them, but one slips on the litter-strewn ground. As the two men emerge on a street, Telly and Ash are sprinting along a riverside path with a road bridge in the background.
Get down.
The people who are chasing them regroup.
God damn it, we lost them. All right, search the fields. We'll check out the streets.
Left side.
The group splits up, with two of them investigating abandoned car wrecks and waste ground. Telly and Ash are crouching nearby. The two men shine their torches around in the dark. One is moving slowly and methodically towards where Telly and Ash are hiding. As he gets closer, the pair hold their breath.
Dallas, come in.
Go for Dallas.
What do you see? Nothing there?
Yeah, the field's clear.
Okay, hook up with us.
Okay, we're coming back to you. What's your 20?
Telly lowers her head with relief, and Ash puts his arm around her. Soon after, they enter a downmarket motel. Dr. Munce is asleep in bed.
Hello?
Dr. Munce, it's Telly.
Telly. Where are you? Are you all right?
No.
people after us.
What do you mean?
I found someone else.
His daughter was on the same flight. He didn't remember her, but now he does. How do you explain that? How do you explain the people chasing us?
I'm telling you, this is a panic attack. You just hold on, all right? Now tell me where you are. I'll leave right away. You need help.
No, I need you to start believing me.
Ash returns to the motel room with a bag of groceries.
Found an all-night place. Didn't have much.
She watches him produce several bags of crisps.
You should eat something.
Just deciding whether I want too much salt or too much sugar.
Sugar.
He offers her a biscuit, then eats one himself. Then he reaches for a bottle of liquor.
Wish you wouldn't do that.
Don't worry about it.
He takes the bottle into the bathroom.
I think I'm just going to go to bed.
After switching off the bedside lamp, she starts to undress in the dim light. He comes out of the bathroom and stands watching her. She feels his gaze and pauses. Then he goes and pours some booze into a plastic cup. She strips down to her underwear.
You held out.
What?
You held out and I didn't. I forgot her. How'd you do that?
I don't know.
What's so important about us? Our kids. I mean, the kids are dead. Why try to erase our memories? It's not like we're gonna go look for them.
Traffic flows across a bridge, taking people to and from Manhattan. In its shadow, Telly and Ash's hotel sits an industrial area on the riverside. In their room, Ash is asleep in one bed, while Telly lies awake in the other. She remembers Sam smiling and waving to her on his way to the plane, and her cheerily waving back. Climbing the steps, he stops and glances back at her. The small plane takes off into a clear blue sky, and Telly stands watching it. Back in the present, she sits bolt upright.
Ash? Ash? Wake up. Come on. Come on, wake up. Wake up. Wake up, wake up. Come on. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up!
She checks his bottle of booze, then picks up the ice bucket.
Ash? Ash? Wake up. Listen to me.
What the hell are you doing?
You were right.
You're doing a nut job.
Listen to me. You were right. You didn't know what you were saying, but you were right. If the children were dead, they would just leave it at that. If we all thought they were dead, why would they erase them? Like you said, why would they need to make us forget them? I think the children are alive. That's why I can still feel him. That's why I can't let go. The children are alive. Don't you feel that Lauren's alive out there?
I don't know, maybe.
He looks up at her.
Yes.
Jim usually leaves the office by 12:15.
We need to get Jim alone. What's he like?
He had our problems. He loved Sam.
Make him say Sam's name. Like he made me say Lauren.
Seeing a policeman looking right at them, they get into a hire car and drive off. The friendly man blocks their way. As the car stops an inch from his knees, he stares down at them. Ash quickly backs up, but a car cuts them off.
Behind you!
Ash drives forward again.
Get out of the way!
He runs the friendly man over.
Oh my God! Is he? Did we?
I don't know.
I've seen him before.
Don't answer it.
Hello?
Hello, is this Telly Peretta?
Who is this?
Telly, this is Detective Ann Pope.
We didn't mean to hurt anybody. There was a man in front of our car, and he wouldn't get out of the way.
What?
We're just trying to find our children.
Hang up.
Yes, I know.
You know?
I know about your case.
Hang up.
Is that Ashley Correll?
They took our kids.
They made us think they died in the plane crash, and they didn't.
Ann?
Yes?
Look, I know this doesn't make any sense, but my son, Sam Peretta, and Ash's daughter, Lauren Correll, they were on the same plane. Now, how could two people remember two different children if they never existed?
When the line goes dead, Pope looks thoughtful. Now, Telly and Ash's silver saloon is crossing the bridge to Manhattan. Dressed for work, Jim's making his way through a pedestrian walkway. Nearby, Telly waits till he's almost past, then hurries out in front of him.
Jim.
Hi, how are you? I'm sorry, do I know you?
What's the matter? It's me.
I'm lost. Can you help me out here?
Oh, God, what do they do to you? It's me. It's Telly.
I'm sorry. We know each other?
I know your wife.
Oh. All right, got it. Not married. Wrong Jim.
James William Peretta.
Who are you?
The agents who chased Telly and Ash are watching them.
Do you know a Sam Peretta?
No relation.
Maybe it would help if you said the name. Sam.
You lost me.
He turns and walks away. Telly's joined by Ash.
What about Jim?
She shakes her head. They're about to cross a road when a car brakes sharply.
It's them.
The car reverses into a yellow cab. While the car's forced to stop by pedestrians, Telly and Ash jump in their car and take off through the streets. A police car going the other way passes them.
We gotta get out of here. Out of the city, at least for tonight. I know someplace is far enough. Telly.
You didn't even know me.
The friendly man calmly watches them drive by. Hope's at the car hard place.
Swear to God, they hit the guy, he crashes into the pump. Look at that. Then it gets right up. I didn't just see it, I heard it. Just bang, this guy bounces off the gas pump, gets right up.
There's no blood.
There's gotta be. Feds wanna talk to you.
What?
Detective Pope.
Okay, wait right here, all right?
I'm, Carl Dayton, NSA.
So you're here to rent a car?
Pardon?
What are you doing in my crime scene, Carl? I mean, what's so national security about this?
I'm not at liberty to say.
You guys need new material.
Look, we've been on this case, so any information that you get on Coretta or Corral, give me a call anytime, day or night.
You like this part, don't you? The part where you get to take away my case.
I'd rather be sailing.
I'm conducting an investigation here, and until I know differently, Peretta and Correll have been breaking only the laws of the city of New York. I'm the city of New York, and I'm on it. Your involvement in this wouldn't have anything to do with the plane crash they claim killed their two children, would it?
Children? There are no children.
Oh. But there was a plane crash.
No. We know nothing about a plane crash.
You don't know very much. National security, huh? Better buy better locks.
Dr. One, Telly Peretta. If you want
Dr. Munz consults his laptop, then picks up the phone. Jim goes to answer his office phone. But he vanishes into thin air. In a dark cabin in the woods, Telly's changing the bedclothes when Ash returns with a bag of groceries. He locks the door, then fixes himself a drink.
Put your eyes back in your head, Warden.
I'm not looking at you.
I had a wife. I could feel a woman's eyes judging me if I was in a coma.
Ash, please don't drink.
See, I told you were watching me.
You know what? Wish I didn't have to.
Well, then don't. I'm sick of hearing it from you.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. You're feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, well, not all of us can be heroes, lady.
You think I wouldn't drink that entire bottle for a few seconds of peace? You're in this. You don't get to drink your way out. What makes you so special?
I let her go. My little girl. They took her away from me, but I let her go. What kind of father does that?
I need you to stay clear.
He downs his drink, then is about to pour himself another when he hesitates. After tossing the mug in the sink, he pours the bottle down the drain. As Telly walks up to him, the impression is given that someone's watching them from outside.
Not doing this for you, you know.
I know.
I'll never forget her again.
I know you won't.
You know everything, right?
I don't know how to get my son back.
I'll figure something out.
Detective Pope's about to leave for the night when her colleague comes up to her.
Ian?
Carl Dayton? He is NSA, but it's tagged. He's got special clearance, some unit within the NSA. These people are down deep.
Doing what?
Well, I'd say God only knows, but I don't think he's in the loop.
Hey, I picked my sister's kid. Get some sleep. Yeah. Night, Cornell. I need you to get that on my desk.
Excuse me, Lieutenant Pope?
No, I'm gone. I'm in my car. I'm almost home.
I'm Dr. Jack Munz. Telly Peretta's my patient. I'd like to help. Telly's contacted me.
So what can you tell me about Telly that might help me find her?
I used to think that she was purely delusional. I'm not sure anymore.
So, how is it that she and Mr. Carell are having the same delusion, making up imaginary children from the same plane crash?
I don't know, Carell. He could be saying anything to be with her.
Well, she calls again, you call me.
Lieutenant, I think it's very important that I'm there when you find her. You'll be dealing with a possible psychotic break. You don't want to do more damage.
I'll call you, Dr. Munz.
No, that's not what I mean. It's my fault she's out there.
Why?
She was in my care. She still trusts me, or she wouldn't have called. She'll call again, and when she does, you'll know, because I'll be with you. You're gonna need me to find her.
In the cabin, a sleeping Telly shifts restlessly in bed. Through in the sitting room, Ash is asleep on a makeshift bed on the couch. Hearing the barking, he wakes up and pricks up his ears. He grabs a brass poker from a fireside, then heads out into the night. Barely visible in the darkness, he moves stealthily through the woods. He sees a figure just ahead of him, watching the cabin through binoculars. Ash swiftly moves in and knocks him out with the poker. The agent comes too, tied to a chair in the cabin.
Oh, shit. Apatalis. What's the A stand for?
What?
Ash slaps him.
You don't have to do that.
What, this?
Stop it!
Al. Al Patalis. Oh, Jesus, you don't want this kind of trouble. So just drop it right now. Right now! Tell him to stop, Miss Peretta. Tell him to stop before this goes any further. Tell him!
We just want our children.
There are no children. Forget the children.
What did you say? Did you say to forget the children? Who are you?
Where are the children?
Who do you work for?
Why were they taken?
What's going on?
Why were the children taken?
I swear to God, if I swing this thing again, I'm going to break your kneecap. I swear it. Where are the children?
No, 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 I... It's not me. It's not us. We cooperate.
Cooperate with who? With who?
Why do you cooperate with them?
Survival.
Who, yours?
Yours too.
You're right.
Where are they from? Who are they? Why do they want the children?
Tell us the truth.
The truth. The goddamn truth won't fit in your brain. It won't fit in anybody's brain.
Just tell us how to get the children back.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. All I know is that you were supposed to forget like everybody else did. This was not part of it.
Part of what? Part of what?
Part of this particular experiment.
Go on.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
No,
yes, you can.
No,
yes, you...
no. Do you have children?
He nods.
Please. Please tell me. No one will know that you told us. Just tell us how to get the children back. No one will blame you. I swear to you. I swear to you.
They're listening.
Suddenly, the entire cabin is raised to the ground, obliterated by some unseen force, as though it were made of matchsticks. Telly and Ash sit up. A full moon stares down at them, bathing the remains of the cabin in silvery light. As Telly gazes up at it, mesmerized, Ash comes over to her.
You okay?
Why didn't they take us?
I don't know.
Our best guess is a gas leak. Nothing's burned. There's no sign of fire. There's no sign of blood. Just this?
A message on the window.
Pam, hope our children are alive. We believe they were abducted. We know we couldn't sound crazy if we tried. Please help us. Abducted.
It's an interesting word. Most people say kidnapped.
Troopers found this.
Excuse us, Dr. Mars.
Pope looks at Patalis's NSA ID card.
Witnesses say they only saw Peretta and Carell running from the cabin after the explosion. And there's no sign of another body inside.
Where'd this come from? Brasha, how's Cassidy?
She's 7, why?
What if I told you your daughter never existed? That you made her up?
And why would you do that?
Yeah. Why?
An aerial view of Telly and Ash's car on a narrow mountain pass. Gazing out of the window, Telly's haunted again by the memory of Sam happily boarding the plane. He climbs up the steps, then the door is flipped closed, completing the word Quest painted on the fuselage.
Quest Air. Leave you in the airline, small airline. It was Quest Air. Remember? Quest Air. So we're saying that it never crashed at sea. We're saying that they somehow took the kids and that the plane and the pilot, that all of it is part of them.
Quest Air.
Later, Telly and Ash have parked outside Quest Air's red brick and concrete warehouse on the dockside. Beyond the wire perimeter fence, they make their way to the entrance. Inside, it's eerily quiet and dark. She tries a door, but it's locked. Moving further along the corridor, they stop outside an office with Robert Chenier President written on the door. Finding it unlocked, they step inside, then carry on through an inner room with a counting on the door. In an office beyond, they find a woman sitting behind a desk. The woman looks up from her paperwork.
Oh my God, who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, we didn't think there'd be anyone here. I'm Claire. I'm Mr. Chenier's assistant. And you are?
Eileen, I'm the accountant the court appointed for the bankruptcy.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Gee, I was told that Quest Air employees are not allowed to be here.
Oh, that's okay. Mr. Chenier just needs some items from his office.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nothing is allowed to leave.
Well, they're just personal letters.
Yes, well, if anything turns up, I'd be happy to have them sent down to Mr. Chenier's home. I'm going to have to go by court procedure, of course, first.
That's fine. The West Side address isn't good anymore, though, the co-op.
Uh-huh.
Which one do you have?
But I have that. Let's see what I've got here. Okay, Robert Chenier, I've got the one on Long Island. 165, Colony Way.
Now, Telly and Ash move around some bushes and approach a large white-painted house overlooking the water. The once impressive residence is showing signs of neglect, with an upstairs window hanging off its hinges. They climb up the porch steps, then glance through a window. Inside, the furniture is covered in plastic sheeting. Finding a door locked, Ash shoulders it in.
Nobody lives here.
Yeah, it's strange. They didn't move out, they just left.
They move on through the dark, shadowy house with lanterns. While Telly goes upstairs, Ash steps into a dining room. The shutters are closed, blocking out the daylight. On a sideboard, he looks at a series of framed photographs of small aircraft, then lingers on one showing the entrance of a hangar with Quest Air written outside. He enters a room upstairs, sets his lantern down on the side, then turns it off. Telly's lying on a bed with her back to him, her eyes staring sadly into space. When he lies down beside her, she turns to face him.
Go ahead, you should sleep.
What about you?
Finally awake.
Do you think it's safe?
Well, if it wasn't, we'd know by now.
They snuggle up closer and he puts his arm around her. With their faces inches apart, They look into each other's eyes for a long, intense moment. Then she bridges the gap and kisses him passionately. He responds, tenderly stroking her hair. He half turns away from her.
We could just hold on.
Better not. Lying here holding each other. 10 minutes into that, you'd be all over me.
She turns onto her side and switches off the lantern. He cuddles into her back, then they settle down to sleep. Later, Telly and Ash are fast asleep on the bed when a figure in silhouette comes to stand in the doorway. After watching them for a while, he moves off along the corridor. Glancing over his shoulder, his face catches the light. It's the mysterious, friendly man. He carries on downstairs. The next day, Dr. Munz parks outside the police station and finds Pope waiting by her car.
Hey, get in.
Where are we going?
They've been ID'd. They scammed an account for an address. Long Island.
They drive off. On Long Island, the wind disturbs the dried leaves littering the porch. Telly's lying alone in bed, with a faraway look in her eye. She remembers Sam waving and winking to her before boarding the plane. She sees the friendly man placing his hand on Sam's head and talking to him. As Sam boards, the friendly man looks straight in Telly's direction, then sets off towards her. In the present, Telly sits up suddenly.
Ash?
Ash discovers the friendly man in the photo of the Quest Air hangar.
Shanir.
Ash?
He hurries upstairs.
Telly?
What? It's the guy from the car rental.
I know. We have to get to the airport. The one the kids left from.
A sudden gust of wind blowing through the house makes them stop.
They're in the house with us.
Come on, let's go.
They run out of the bedroom. Downstairs, he unbolts the doors and tries to open them, but can't.
It's jammed.
He throws a table through the window. They quickly climb out and start to run away from the house, but a car tearing up the driveway makes them stop.
Here, meet me in my apartment.
What are you doing?
One of us has got to get out of here. Go, go on, go!
Telly runs off while Ash ducks behind the house. Pope stops the car with Munz in the passenger side.
Stay here. Stay inside.
While Telly gets into the hire car, Pope, her gun at the ready, proceeds with caution towards the house. On the porch, she sees the friendly man.
Freeze, right there. Hands on your head. I want you on your knees. Now. I will shoot. Now.
She shoots his leg. It heals instantly. The two bullets to his back have no effect, and he casually walks off. Out front, Ash runs up to Munz.
Are you Munz?
Yes, what happened in there? Where's Telly?
Telly's left. We gotta get out of here.
Well, what about Paul?
Look, you want to help Tally? Just drive. Drive! Come on.
Tally's car is stuck in mud. As Muntz and Ash drive away from the house, she tries to wedge a branch under her tire.
I believe you about everything. I've seen it. It's not human. Jesus Christ.
And the children?
Yes, everything. We'll find them. I promise you that. Do you hear me? We will find them. We will find yourself.
Suddenly, Pope shot into the air like a bullet, disappearing in the blink of an eye. Telly stands and gasps. Before Muntz is barely parked, Ash jumps out of the car and runs to his apartment.
Tally?
Moving at speed through the air towards Ash's apartment block, then Tally arriving inside.
Ash! Ash!
They hug.
They took Ann Pope right in front of me.
Muntz is downstairs. He'll take us to that airport.
Beautiful view.
It's the friendly man.
What have you done with our kids?
Ash tries to tackle him, but the friendly man easily flips him into a headlock.
Ash!
Oh! No, Tally!
Ash!
Stay back! No!
Ash!
Both men fall backwards out of the window. As Ash plummets to the ground, the friendly man's catapulted up into the sky. On the pavement, Tally finds nothing but broken wood and glass.
Tally, come with me.
Dr. Muntz leads her to his car. Once on the road, she stares straight ahead in shock.
We have to go to the police.
No, we have to go to the airport.
Please, Tally, we need help.
When he stops for a red light, she puts on the handbrake and takes the keys out of the ignition.
Get out.
No, I'll take you.
At the airport, Dr. Muntz and Tally park outside the Quest Air hangar that was in the photograph. As they get out of the car, a plane takes off into the wispy blue sky. They enter the hangar, with Tally stepping into the dimly lit, cavernous interior first, and Muntz shutting the door behind them. Up ahead, two sliding metal doors give way to a dark room beyond. From the shadows, the friendly man emerges and regards them coolly.
He's one of them. You have my son. Where is he?
Muntz stops her, then steps forward to talk to him.
You know this is getting out of control. It's finished now. End it. Make it right.
The friendly man looks at Muntz.
It's not over.
Then he turns and walks off into the darkness. Muntz and Tally look at each other.
You're one of those agents.
No, I'm just one of the few who knows.
So you help them?
They don't need our help. They run their experiments with or without our help. They've been doing it for years, maybe forever.
We just let them do whatever they want.
Let them? I don't have a choice. We just try to minimize the damage.
I just want my son.
Tally, you'll never get Sam back. You've held on, and they don't know why. You're just a lab rat to them.
I don't believe that. He said it's not over. I can still get it back.
You know them. Help me.
If you go any further, I can't help you. I'm sorry.
She walks past him and goes after the friendly man. Imposing pillars cast dark shadows across a vast empty part of the hangar, which has arched windows at the far end. Telly walks up to the friendly man.
Is my son in here?
You never doubted. Not for a second, did you?
He's here.
He's now just a memory, Telly.
She closes her eyes, and memories come flooding back of Sam playing as a child. She smiles tearfully. Sam on a carousel, climbing, falling over in a playground. She closes her eyes again, reliving more precious memories.
Can you picture him here? No.
At a distance, a boy crosses between the pillars, then breaks into a run. Telly smiles and chases after him.
Sam! Honey! Wait!
She follows him through a doorway which leads directly to Sam's bedroom at home. Pushing open the door, she sees Sam playing by the dresser, but when she tries to go to him, she's thrown back by an electric force field.
He can't hear you, and he can't see you.
Does he remember me?
In his mind, life is going on as it always has. He took the plane ride, he went to camp, he had a good time. He came home. Right now, you're downstairs in the kitchen making him a snack before he goes out to play. Chicken noodle soup.
Why can't you let him go? He's not an experiment, he's a child.
No, you're right. He's not the experiment. You are. Your connection, mother to child. It's like an invisible tissue. We can even measure its energy, but we don't fully understand it. So we pose the question, can it be dissolved? And it can. Except for you. Do you remember the last time you saw Sam?
Of course I do. It was right here. It was here at the...
What was his favorite sport to play?
Her memory of Sam playing baseball vanishes.
Please. Please don't do this.
But there would be no suffering at all if only you would forget him.
Sam! Sam!
Who were his best friends growing up?
Gritting her teeth, she tries to break through the force field. As Sam plays on, oblivious, she picks herself up and tries again.
What frightened him most as a baby, Telly?
Electric blue pulses rip through her body and she crashes to the ground.
What flavor ice cream did he like? When did he get his first haircut? What color were his eyes? When did he take his first step?
In agony, she drops face down on the floor.
Can you remember before that? Do you remember not being a mother?
She struggles to crawl forward on her hands and knees.
Telly, stop.
She tries to stand up.
You don't have to die.
She looks up at Sam playing, then launches herself at the force field before disappearing in a flash of light. Telly is lying motionless on the shadowy hangar floor. The friendly man looks down at her.
What was his name?
Who?
That boy. Do you know who that boy was?
No.
He crouches down beside her.
We're done here, Tally.
She stares blankly at the floor. He hears the heartbeat. In a memory bathed in golden light, Telly sits on a park bench, gently rubbing her swollen, pregnant belly.
Life inside of me. I had life. I had a child. Son. His name is Sam.
He stares at her unblinkingly.
Now it's over. You'll be the only one to remember.
A tear trickles down her face. Now it's cold and grey outside as Telly walks along a street in her old neighbourhood. Nearing her house, she picks up her pace and runs up to the front door.
Sam!
She hurries upstairs. She runs into Sam's bedroom and finds it full of his toys and furniture. As she stands, taking it all in, she becomes aware of the sound of children coming in through the window. Outside, the play park is full of kids. She hurries towards it.
Sam! Sam! Sam Ferretta, do you know him?
She sees the friendly man and ignores him.
Sam! 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 Sam!
Sam! It's not time to go in, is it?
She stares in disbelief at her son and cups his face to check he's real. Then, overwhelmed with emotion, speechless, she scoops him up into her arms and hugs him tight.
Mom, I can't breathe!
She puts him down and smiles at him tearfully.
Sorry, I just don't. Just worried to button up.
I think till 5:30?
Yeah, 5:30's okay.
Okay, thanks. See ya.
See ya.
Sam rejoins his friends on the climbing frame. When Lauren appears and gives Telly a wave, Telly waves back and starts to cry with relief. Her smile fades when she sees the friendly man watching her from across the park. Then he turns and walks away. A hesitant smile spreads across her face. Then she turns and wanders off through the park. Beyond the bushes, Ash is sitting on the swings. When she turns a corner and sees him, she hesitates. He smiles at her.
Hi.
Hi. I guess they don't seem to want parents around.
No.
Sam waves to her from the top of the climbing frame.
Keep watching him.
It's hard not to.
No, they're okay.
I know. I'm Telly. Sam's mom.
I'm Ash.
think we met before.
As they shake hands, she smiles at him curiously, then sits down on the swing next to his. In front of them, the children play on happily.